The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Eric Sorensen, our Senior Executive Vice President of Everything. We have Jared Nielsen, our Chairman of the Board. Jordan Hamm is here assisting as well.
Where's Haley?
Haley's on vacation.
Why does she get vacation?
She's worked here 2 weeks, so it's part of the manual.
You do love her. Not love her, love her, but you're just so smitten over our new hire.
I think she's
great. She gets vacation time after 2 weeks. Jared Nielsen's taken one vacation in like 5 years.
Yeah,
he's over here to my left.
Smitten, huh?
Oh, man.
You know,
these work conditions,
the work conditions are rough here. Rough when we do this. That's a good point you bring up. Should I give her, for every week she works, she gets 2 weeks vacation?
Jared's like doubled over in pain and... We're all just playing hurt, you know? It's okay.
It.
And yeah. Haley's on a beach somewhere. I see how it
works. I think she's in a snowstorm somewhere in Indiana. But yeah, it'd be nice if she did show up and work every now and then. I follow you on that. I'm going to sit her down and read her the riot act. Last night I watched some of the Suns game, and it was not good. And, you know, the whole thing about the Suns, last week we had Al McCoy on, and I said I like some of the things I'm seeing, and I do. But I've been very straightforward about this, that the chemistry that they have on that team, there really isn't any for long-term future deal here. Guys' contracts are going to expire. Guys are going to be moved. The way that the lineup looks today is not how it should look for a team that's going to go into the postseason. They're now 8-21. They have Houston here tomorrow night. They should not win that game either. James Harden is in town tomorrow night. That's in downtown Phoenix. You know, I watched Bledsoe. Bledsoe had 28 last night, and it's like, yeah, he's getting his, but when I see him on the floor, it's, I don't think he's going to be here to lead them, and he's playing well, so if you've ever been in a space where you need to trade some, I'm not going to say he's Paul Goldschmidt, you know, where the Diamondbacks are not going to do anything in the next couple of years, and you better trade him and get something. I'm not saying Bledsoe is that good. But he's playing well enough that if you packaged him with an expiring contract or one of the vets like P.J. Tucker or Tyson Chandler, it may be in the best interest of the team to do that. So I did watch them last night, and, you know, it was one of those games where, again, in the fourth quarter, they just kind of faded away. It was disappointing. I saw the Coyotes. I actually watched some of the Coyotes last night. I think I'm one of the five that watched it. They can't do anything on the power play. They weren't very good last night. And then I went over to the Monday night game. I was back and forth on that, actually. And I'm watching Cam Newton. When Cam Newton, the play today that everybody is talking about is when Cam Newton gets called for an unsportsmanlike. And Cam Newton throws the ball at a defender on the Redskins. And they throw the flag because Newton felt he came in high on him again, as Newton has felt all along. And he may have a valid argument. He might have that. But when you're in a must-win game in Washington, I think the bigger story is that because the Panthers are 6-8. I don't see any way that they get into the postseason. I just don't. I know that there's mathematical formulas, but I don't see it. The bigger story there is Kirk Cousins just wasn't good last night. You know, yeah, statistically, he threw for a ton of yards. But I think that Kirk Cousins is one of those quarterbacks that's going to be just good enough, but he's never going to be great. Like, as the Cardinals are sitting here in our little town, in our little slice of paradise, and they're not going anywhere this year other than a trip to Seattle and a trip to Los Angeles. And if Carson Palmer comes back and plays next year, I'm of the opinion, if you've not caught us before, you're going to hear me say an awful lot, because I've said it the last 2 years, please get somebody here to develop behind Carson Palmer. In the last calendar year, I think the demise of Carson Palmer has started. He's had some great moments, but New Orleans' defense is not terrific. And it's not like when it goes for quarterbacks, okay? When it goes for quarterbacks, it goes in a hurry. And so as I'm sitting here watching the games around the league, you may have a quarterback like Washington does with Kirk Cousins and say, we've got it all figured out. I just don't think he's that good. Carson Palmer has not shown me the ability to get all the way to the Super Bowl. The window off of a team that has only 5 wins and is not going to be favored to win at Seattle. So that would put them at, what, 5-9-1 and would increase their draft status, would enhance their draft status. And then they go to Los Angeles, and I can't say that they're going to win out in L.A. New Year's Eve, a team out of the playoffs in Los Angeles, stay under curfew. Good luck with that. Be focused to play. Yeah, you can be as professional as you want, but a lot of these guys have never been in a space where their team has been so bad. So they may end up being 5-10-1. They may. I expect them to finish the season 6-9-1. I think they'll lose in Seattle, and I think they'll win in Los Angeles. It would be great if they lost both games to enhance their draft position. I mean, there's really no reason, none at all, to walk around and say, yeah, you know, we won that last game against the Rams. Play your kids. Get your head beat in. Carson, sit over on the sideline. We're going to let Drew Stanton take some snaps. David Johnson, it's been a nice season, but Kerwin Williams is going to get a bulk of the reps here. We know you're 200 yards away from the magical mark of receiving yards, 1,000, and rushing yards. We know that, but we're just not going to take tread off your tire for games that don't mean anything. Well, it's going to give us momentum. That's bull. Yeah, there may be incentive clauses out there, but I was watching last night, and Carson Palmer is better than Kirk Cousins, but Carson Palmer has not taken a team to the promised land. And to expect a team that next year, coming off of a 5 or 6 win season, that they're going to turn right around and they're going to get it all figured out and they're going to go all the way to the Super Bowl, that doesn't happen very often. And you look at the roster top to bottom, and there's holes all over the place. I mean, to me, if we're going to go through this conversation, is the window open or is the window closed with the Cardinals? The window's closed. You mean to tell me that, well, Calais is going to leave, but we know Robert Kimdiche is going to fill in and be terrific for him. That's why we drafted him as a first-round pick. Guy's barely been on the field this year, so you're not going to be better at that position. On your offensive line, well, we know we're going to get Jared Valdir back. You don't know how healthy he's going to be. Mike Iupati is going to be another year older. Well, we know Larry Fitzgerald is going to be. You don't know how. Father time for these guys towards the end of their career, it happens in a hurry. I mean, it happens where they're just not effective. Oh, well, how can you say that? You're being disrespectful. No, I'm not being disrespectful. It's just a fact. Watch the league. When the demise comes, it's boom. It's that. Well, they're going to have this first-round pick, so they're going to draft a corner, and that corner is going to get everything figured out. You draft a corner that high, great. We're going to hear this whole rookie curve and all that stuff. Well, we have Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu's not been healthy this year. In fact, Tyrann Mathieu hasn't been healthy the last 2 years. Am I bagging on Tyrann Mathieu? No, it's a fact. He hasn't been healthy. Well, we're going to have the Honey Badger back, and that's going to make everything great. I don't know. This year he hasn't been healthy, and he's not had a great season. Well, Patrick Peterson's here. He's terrific. Yeah, he's terrific, but even he has had some moments this year. Well, I wouldn't say they've been his finest out on the football field. Well, we've got these linebackers, Chandler Jones. We don't know about Chandler Jones' future with his contract. We don't know how happy he's going to be with this contract here in Arizona. We don't know. Should I go on this? And, you know, you go right down the list, and when people tell me that, well, we're going to get it all turned around next year, I don't know. You're going to fire your special teams coach, or at least you should. And you're going to probably change your teams top to bottom, or at least you should. And now we've had all this adversity, and we don't know. We really don't know if Michael Bidwell is going to stay in his lane, and Steve Keim is going to stay in his lane, and Bruce Arians is going to stay in his lane. We don't know that. If I'm the owner of the team, I have to walk downstairs and say, you know, we did all or nothing, and now it's nothing, and we're supposed to go out and win, and why haven't we won? And I demand answers, and whose head is going to be chopped off for this season? It'd be very surprising if everybody came back intact. No, I mean, I know most NFL seasons, there's always change. I get it. But I'd be very surprised if there was not some major moves on this team, even on their roster side. If Larry retires, and I can only go off Kurt Warner telling me on the air, yeah, Larry's done in his opinion. If Larry walks away from this, and then Carson sits here and looks at it and says, well, who do I exactly have to throw to next year? Who do I really have to throw to next year? And for Carson, he's coming to the end of his deal. So the organization has to develop a young quarterback and go do it in a hurry. Otherwise, they look around the league and they say, well, who's going to become available? Brock Osweiler going to become available? Big contract down in Houston, hasn't played, can't even start. A guy named Tom Savage is going to be in front of him. What's going to happen to Brock Osweiler? Is he going to be blown out because they made a mistake and we can use him as the reclamation project? I've been hearing about Mike Glennon for months, years. Mike Glennon's the answer. Really? Well, Matt Ryan's the answer. Matty Ice had a good season. Well, he's going to come here. So there's organizations that I think do very well for themselves. Steve Keim did very well for himself by getting Carson Palmer out of Oakland. Last time I checked, Oakland has the quarterback of the future that is playing every day now and playing very, very well. So they figured it out. The Cardinals have figured it out, but I think the window of the Carson Palmer era, nobody can expect a 6-win turnaround. Well, if we just had a long snapper and a holder and a kicker, well, you didn't. Next year, you're going to have a different group of players out in the field. So I'm watching these teams. Like Carolina a year ago is a different Carolina team than now. They don't have Josh Norman. Luke Kuechly's hurt. You know, Cam has had a season. I'd take Cam Newton on my team, don't get me wrong, but you just because you get there one year and the next year you don't doesn't mean, well, we're just going to retool and it's all going to be well. You don't want to become the Bears where every year you stink. Every year you're just brutal. Every year you're awful. But you do want to be Seattle where every year you're consistently there. You are there every year. You run your organization top to bottom, and when you have that down season up there, you still make the playoffs. Down here, we have a bad season, no playoffs. Not even close to it. Michael Fabiano is going to be with us today while the NFL Network Senior Fantasy Analyst. One last time to check in with Michael on all things fantasy football. Matt Muehlbach is going to be with us today. Looking forward to that at about 10:50. Pac-12 Network Analyst, former U of A Wildcat. There's two really interesting basketball games in our state tonight on the college front. U of A hosts New Mexico, and ASU plays a 10th-ranked Creighton tonight. So we'll talk some college hoops with Matt Muehlbach later in the show. But all things fantasy football next with Michael Fabiano. I'm Brad Sussmat. Talk with Michael Fabiano, all things fantasy football, the Hall of Famer. He is with us as always. This is our final get-together for the year. And let's go back on the year, okay? So if you were to look back on your drafts, knowing what you know now and looking ahead to 2017, give me a couple guys. There's just no chance at all you will ever touch them again, Michael. No chance. None.
I mean,
guys that you took.
I never say never, but Todd Gurley burned me in a couple of leagues this season. Allen Robinson burned me in a few leagues this season. You know that I will never take a quarterback
right
in one of the first five rounds. I might not take one until the 10th round next season. Mm. Why? Mm. It makes no sense to do it. When Cam Newton has 390 and then the following year he's going to be far off that pace, it proves what I've always told people. You have to beware the magical season. So I'm also not going to subscribe, nor did I subscribe this past season, to the theory that running backs are losing value and wide receivers are more valuable, because that's just simply not the case. And you're going to see, I would guess, six running backs go in the first round next season. But I never say never with players, because if Cam is on the board in the eighth round next season, then I'm probably going to take him. If Gurley is on the board in the third or fourth round next season, maybe I'll take a chance on him. We'll see what happens. But there are some guys who are maybe getting a little older, like a Brandon Marshall, for example, who might not be as highly ranked on my board as he was. Matt Forte could be another example of that too. So we shall see. But you know what? And you know, we've been doing this for a long time. I say it every single year. The only thing that's predictable at the NFL and fantasy football is that it's unpredictable.
No, that's right.
And just ask anyone who maybe started Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers this past week, and you know, both of these guys were outscored by Matt Moore and RG3.
Well, and I'm sitting there with my team, so I'll get over to my team in a second, because it usually bores people talking about your teams, but this is one of the weeks where I'll do it. How many teams did you have get to the finals this year, of all the leagues that you're in?
Eight leagues, made the playoffs in seven, semis in five, championships in two. I had a bad week this past week. I played one team that had, and it was a PPR league that had Brandon Cooks and Devonta Freeman and Andrew Luck and the Dolphins defense. So I was basically done. And that team made the playoffs at 5-8, and I was the number one seed. So all you need is one bad week, whether your team has a bad week or your opponent goes off. And that's what happens. That's what happens. So I did make it in two, which is, you know, 2 of 8. Not too bad. But I was hoping for better. Unfortunately, I got Kirk Cousined on Monday night as well. That one, that one was for the Redskins.
I'm sitting there with Amari Cooper, Dez Bryant, and Devontae at my wide receivers, and I'm feeling...
And you're thinking, hey, I'm in good shape.
I'm in great shape. Yeah. And then I've got Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. I'm in terrific shape. And then both hands around the neck, and
you never know.
I'm done. Done.
You never know. Devontae Adams was... listen, he dropped 2 touchdowns right in his hands. I mean, it was like 2015 Devontae all over again. And he... basically, because he dropped those 2 touchdowns, you're going from potentially 20 points for Aaron Rodgers to about 12.
Yeah. No, it's that close. Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano with us. A couple other things I'll let you go. If you're looking at the MVP this season, it's got to be out here, doesn't it?
Yep.
It's got to be the
David
running
Johnson.
Back. David. It's got to be David Johnson, right?
Has to be. He has been phenomenal. And we're talking about Marshall Faulk, LaDainian Tomlinson level phenomenal. A player who was a top 5 pick in most leagues. I think people saw it coming based on you know what he had done in the second half of his rookie campaign. But listen, he could go for 1,000 and 1,000. He's, I believe, about 200 yards short receiving-wise. And you're getting into rare air right there. You're getting into, you know, Marshall Faulk and Roger Craig. And Roger Craig, he may not have the name value of a LaDainian Tomlinson or a Marshall Faulk, but he was a pretty darn good running back back in his day. He just wasn't playing when fantasy football was so popular. So David's right there. Zeke is right there. If you want to talk about value based on where a player was drafted, McCoy is right there. DeMarco is right there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good running backs now in the league, a lot of good young running backs in the league, and that's why I preached my running back revival would happen this season, and it did.
No, you're right. You're right about that. Breakout.
I got that one right at least.
Yeah,
that
listen
was,
to you.
You know, that might be it.
The breakout guys this year. Who are some guys, and David Johnson, again, would be at the top of that list, but some breakout guys that you looked at, maybe in their second, third, fourth year that, okay, these are fantasy mainstays looking ahead to 2017, that they're going to be there, and they may not be frontline guys.
Dak Prescott broke out in his rookie year. Marcus Mariota had a breakout year and has had a couple of stinkers in a row, but overall has been pretty good. Derek Carr has also had a very solid season for fantasy owners. Melvin Gordon broke out big time. LeGarrette Blount as well, although I don't know that I'm expecting 15 touchdowns from him again. Jordan Howard in Chicago has enjoyed a very solid season. If you look at the wide receivers, despite his 2 drops, Devontae Adams has broken out this season, and Michael Thomas as a rookie has had a very nice season as well. But there's a lot of injuries at wide receiver. That position really hurt a lot of fantasy owners, and there's been a ton of busts. So tight end position, Cameron Brate is in the conversation. He's been pretty good this season. And I don't know if Hunter Henry broke out, but he has scored 7 times, and I think he'll be a big breakout candidate next season if Antonio Gates decides to hang him up.
Yeah, which is always the case. The busts list, Brock Osweiler's got to be at the top of it.
No, but no one really drafted him. Cam Newton's a bust. He's got 235 points right now. He had 389 last season. I would suggest that Ben Roethlisberger's been a bust because he's awful on the road. Russell Wilson's been a bust this season. Carson Palmer's been a bust. If you want to talk about wide receivers, the list is a mile long. Nuke. Allen Robinson's been a bust.
Yes.
You know, Jarvis Landry's been over 1,000 yards, but he's been a bust. He's been extremely inconsistent this season. And Brandon Marshall's been a huge disappointment. Huge. Randall Cobb has been a huge disappointment this season. If you went with that zero running back philosophy in your draft, you're probably not in your playoffs at this point because there were a lot, and I'm not even talking about the guys who got injured like Eric Decker and Keenan Allen, and there were several others. That position has tanked a lot of people's chances this season at going to a potential Super Bowl. Alshon Jeffrey's another one. He tanked this season too.
How about trends this year that you saw? Like, you were all over the running back thing. Even last year at the draft, you were all over. I remember talking with you last April after the draft, last May after the draft, and you said, Brad, this is going to be the year of running backs. What other trends did you see coming out of this season, if any?
Well, the quarterback position, I feel like, is going to be even more devalued next season. Rodgers has been great. He's been great. No one has drafted Matt Ryan in the top 50. Andrew Luck's been, you know, he's fourth in fantasy points. He's been pretty good, but no one's going to take him in the top 40 or 50. Mm-hmm. You are going to see really good quarterbacks come off the board later than ever before, and that's how it should be, because the position is just so easy to replace that when you can go out and start a Matt Moore, and you see a Matt Moore or an RG3 or a Colin Kaepernick putting up big numbers last week, I mean, it's an interchangeable position. The running back situation is sort of what I predicted, and I think it's going to continue next season. I think wide receivers will bounce back because a lot of them had awful seasons, but I think there will be a rebound. And tight ends. You know, we came into the season after there were several moves during the offseason where we're thinking the tight end position has got some depth now, right? Latarius Green had gone to Pittsburgh, and Fleener had gone to New Orleans, and Gates was by himself in San Diego, and Zach Miller was a potential sleeper, and he did pretty well. That position has been brutal, brutal. Mm-hmm. Greg Olsen's having a good year, but he's only got 3 touchdowns. Jordan Reed's been a huge bust. Boy, if you started him last night, you're probably swearing all the way to work this morning. You've got other players like Rob Gronkowski, Madden Curse, maybe, maybe not, but he was a bust this season because he couldn't stay on the football field, quite frankly. And Jimmy Graham sort of reemerged as a viable fantasy starter, but look at his numbers in the last 4 or 5 weeks. He's disappeared. So that'll be a position as well that people are going to wait on. So you will see in 2017 more running backs and wide receivers drafted than you've ever seen before in the first 50 picks. That's what's going to dominate even more so, because you're not going to get a Gronk in there. You're not going to get someone who's going to take a Jordan Reed or a Greg Olsen. No one's going to take an Aaron Rodgers or a Cam Newton or a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady there. And if they do, they shouldn't, because this is sort of the way of the NFL. I actually had a conversation with Kurt Warner about this, because we talk about, Kurt loves fantasy football, even though he might tell you that he hates it. And we talked about how quarterback is so devalued in fantasy football. We're on the flip side in terms of real football. It's the most important position on the field.
I'll tell you that
time points contributes to that. And, just the rules around the league.
I'll tell you that the player I've been most interested in here late in the season is Ty Montgomery. Find me a bunch of Ty Montgomerys. And so I'm looking at 17 saying, if it's Christian McCaffrey who comes into the league, where is Christian McCaffrey going to end up? I know it's a rookie and all that stuff, but man, the way Ty Montgomery has been used, find me more of those type of players and I got to be all over them.
There's some good rookie running backs that are going to come into the league coming into 2017. Ty Montgomery has been a point of contention for a lot of people because he was a wide receiver. He was listed as a wide receiver.
Yep.
Some games out there switched him to a running back even before the Packers made the change on their depth chart. Now he's a running back on NFL.com. And if you started him last week, there's a good chance you're in your championship. And it was sort of the perfect storm, right? Green Bay had lost Eddie Lacy. James Starks was injured. They had an opening there. And they didn't really have too much of anything going on. And if you remember, Montgomery had a pretty good stretch that he was ineffective. He really hadn't done much. If you're looking at his week 10 game, 2 points, week 11, week 12, week 13, hadn't done much. Then you started to see him get more usage against Seattle, and then last week against the Bears, and now he's got the Vikings. And the Vikings defense just gave up over 100 rushing yards to Frank Gore and 2 touchdowns to Robert Turbin. So Montgomery's in the flex starter conversation, no question, this week.
Before I let you go, Michael Fabiano with us, the Hall of Famer, one last time. Who do you like this week? Who are you kind of shying away from this week, Michael?
We'll go quick. Ben Roethlisberger's at home. Guess what? You start him against the Baltimore Ravens. Stick with Cam Newton. Can you believe I have to tell people to start Cam Newton? That's how crazy things have been this season. Derek Carr is a good play. So is Phillip Rivers, quarterbacks that I would avoid this week. Carson Palmer, sorry, Arizona. Eli Manning, and I also I'm a little bit down on Andy Dalton. Even if A.J. Green returns, I would keep him on your fantasy bench running backs to play this week. Well, Bilal Powell looks like a very good play. On the flip side, Forte does not. Todd Gurley is playing the Niners. Even after this bust of a season, maybe he helps you win a championship. I'd stick with Jay Ajayi, LeGarrette Blount, Jonathan Stewart, all good plays, as is Frank Gore. I can't start Adrian Peterson. I can't do it. I don't care if he goes out and has 202 touchdowns against Green Bay this week. I can't start him. He's averaging 1.9 yards per carry, and that offensive line is brutal. I mentioned benching Forte. Ryan Matthews has got a bad matchup this week, so beware him, beware Mark Ingram as well at the wide receiver position. I like Emmanuel Sanders to bounce back. He had a tweet yesterday. He was not too happy about the fact that people think Malcolm Butler shut him down, and I think he'll bounce back against Kansas City. Julian Edelman against the Jets. Sammy Watkins is a flex play, as is Stephon Diggs in PPR leagues. Dontrell Inman, who I've been talking about for about 4 weeks, he's a flex this week as well. I'm benching Terrell Pryor. If you look at Casey Hayward, he has been one of the best shutdown corners in the league over the last month. Brandon Marshall, I'd cut him. Jeremy Maclin, he led the Chiefs in catches and yards and targets last week. I'm not touching him against the Broncos. Steve Smith is another player that I would avoid this week as well.
Crushing people. Appreciate the time. Happy holidays, Michael. Thanks.
Merry Christmas, my man. Take care.
There's Michael Fabiano with us, the Hall of Famer right there at the NFL Network, sports360az.com. We partner with you. Get him out of here. Crush him. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. So we're going to have Matt Muehlbach. Matt Muehlbach's coming up here in about 10 minutes. Former U of A Wildcat, now Pac-12 Network analyst. Tonight, it will be U of A against New Mexico down in Tucson, and ASU with Bobby Hurley, if he can stay on the floor, at home against Creighton. I'm happy they're playing Creighton. It's nice to see a team like Creighton roll in here. They're ranked in the top 10 in the nation. We have been talking about ASU needing to get better scheduling, and I think they've done it the last few years, especially having Hurley here. I don't know if there are going to be many people at the game, unfortunately. Eric, are you going tonight?
I am not. I have a high school feature.
You have a high school feature
out in the West Valley.
That's good.
One of the local basketball players.
Good story.
Very good story.
Yeah.
A riser, as they say.
There's some good high school stuff going on. Actually, on sports360az.com, we've got some college stuff on the hoop end, and then the rundown of some high school tournaments over the holidays. So looking forward to that. I don't know what to make out of this football season other than on all platforms. And we talk about all of them here on sports360az.com. It doesn't matter if it's pro, college, or high school here in the state of Arizona. We go through it every week, year round. We don't just do this during football season because a lot of the news involves the teams on the pro, college, and even high school level in March, April, May, June. We do this year round, this show. And so knowing that and knowing how awful the Cardinals season has been, and knowing how dreadful the U of A season was and just how not good the ASU season, I can't put it into terms, the ASU season, how they were defensively. Let's get 2016 out of the way. You know, just please move on, because there were not many highlights. Eric, were there many highlights at all to you this year? I mean, N'Keal Harry, if we're talking about ASU, N'Keal Harry would have to be a highlight.
I mean, the most obvious would be David Johnson's breakthrough season with the Cardinals and Larry Fitzgerald's consistent season playing at such a high level. But it is odd. We're sitting here at the end of 2016, and there is no ASU bowl game. There is no U of A bowl game.
None.
It seemed like those two teams played 2 years ago. The season's been over for so long. It's been
Everybody goes to a bowl game.
I know.
And on the college end, for both schools to not even make the stinking Vegas Bowl or the go to El Paso again and get your pair of boots or any of that stuff that we've... You know, last year ASU went to a bowl game at Chase Field, a baseball stadium, last time I checked. The year before that, they went to El Paso, which not many people want to go to El Paso. Sorry to those of you that have been in El Paso. I aspire on the college end. I don't know. Let's go to New Orleans. Let's go to Atlanta. Let's go to Pasadena. We do not want the all-expense-paid trip to El Paso in 2017.
And to think, Brad, ASU started 5-1. And all they had to do was win one of their last six games. And they lost six in a row to finish 5-7.
But, you know, and on the Cardinals end of things, yes, David Johnson has been a terrific story. I'm not going to downplay that. And I'm excited that he's here, because when you have a bell cow running back, okay, you can build around that. But, you know, the Cardinals are probably going to have a top 10 pick. So I'm looking to the draft this year. This spring, we'll take the show to the combine. We did that last year. we'll take the show to Indianapolis in February, and we'll go to the combine, and then we'll get into free agency. And, you know, is it DeShone Kizer, the quarterback at Notre Dame, that the Cardinals end up drafting? Do they take a quarterback that high in this year's draft? At some point, you have to have the replacement for Carson Palmer. Carson has not had a horrible season. He hasn't. But I wouldn't sit here and say to you that it's been a season that was like last year. Nothing's like that. It's hard to repeat. ASU's, and they've just got to find a quarterback out of all these guys that they have. And U of A's case, I don't know if Rich is going to be able to pull out of this nosedive because it's been so harsh on them. It's just been a rough, rough run here in 2016. You know, talking further, though, about the quarterback stuff. So Eric, if we're going to go through this, so Cleveland's going to get the first pick. Cleveland's going to get the first pick, and you would think that Myles Garrett out of Texas A&M would be the first pick. We would agree on that, right?
I would think, somewhere towards the top. He's a top three pick.
Okay, so Myles Garrett. Then you're going to have all these Alabama guys, because every draft has Alabama guys. They've got the defensive tackle, Jonathan Allen, who Brock was raving about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the Browns need a quarterback, and there aren't any quarterback-worthy picks in the first five,
you
six, seven, eight,
Trubisky
nine picks.
You seen Trubisky at North Carolina?
A little bit. I have. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him enough to really put him at a high position, but he's definitely talented. I've seen plenty of highlights.
Because if you're Cleveland or if you're the Bears, right, you both need quarterbacks. Or can you get by with what you have? And then you go, Tennessee may be a top 10 team. They may be a playoff team because they hold the Rams pick. The Rams would be picking in the top 10, but the Titans have that pick. Titans don't need a quarterback. They have Mariota. You have the Jets. Jets need a quarterback. The Jets always need a quarterback. Or, because they sat on Christian Hackenberg all season long, is this the time that Christian Hackenberg is finally able to play?
Keep sitting.
Then you have the Chargers, okay? Phillip Rivers is 35. We don't know how he's going to react if and when they move to Los Angeles. We don't know about that.
His situation is sort of like what we see in Arizona with Carson Palmer. Still playing at a relatively high level, but how much longer does Phillip Rivers really want to play?
Or when does it just go?
Yeah.
You know?
It hasn't gone.
It hasn't gone.
And I don't think with Carson it's gone. But
Carson's not what he was last year.
No, but he's not all the problem.
No, you're right. I'm not sitting here laying it at his feet. Okay. I don't think that outside of David Johnson, you mentioned Larry. You know, Larry's had a very good season, but Larry's been beat up a bit this year. It's been a hard year. It's been taxing on him. All right, so you have the Chargers today as it sits at 7. Then you'd have Cleveland with another pick from Philadelphia. So the Browns have two picks. So if one of those picks ends up being a quarterback, that takes like a Deshaun Watson off the board. Then you have the Cardinals. As it sits today, the Cardinals would have the 9th pick in the draft.
This is depressing. It's not even Christmas and we're talking draft.
Well, that's
better. You know what? That is the reality,
but
right?
But you know, there were many, many years with the Cardinals. We were talking draft in October.
True. Very true.
In October.
Thanksgiving draft talk, yeah.
That's just how it is. But I think today it's worth pointing out that if you're looking at your issues, what are your needs? So you're in a really good position if you're the Cardinals, and if a team falls in love with, let's just say, Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette is still sitting on the board. Teams want running backs. Owners want running backs. Running backs put people in seats. Running backs protect quarterbacks. Running backs get people excited. So if you're the Cardinals, and if a guy like Fournette is sitting there, you could very easily, and Steve Keim has shown the propensity to do this, which I think is the smart way to go. When you have a high pick, it's very smart to trade out of that high pick, unless you just cannot walk away from somebody. And the fact that the Cardinals are sitting here today at 9, if they lose their final two games, maybe it moves into the top 5, top 7, something like that. And then the Cardinals are in a spot where impact guy versus let's trade back out of the top 10, let's trade down to the mid 15, 16 level, let's pick up an extra pick, let's trade down to 20, and let's pick up two more picks, and all of a sudden you've parlayed a bad season into 4 or 5 players that you know can turn the situation around long term. That's what you have to do. And I think in Steve's case, look, he's shown the propensity to do a lot of things. The Chandler Jones trade last year, he said, I'm going to go out, I'm going to get my impact guy now, and I'll trade Jonathan Cooper for a bag of rocks. And Jonathan Cooper didn't even last in New England. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Shift gears on the other side. Matt Muehlbach, Pac-12 network analyst, former Wildcat, is next. U of A, ASU, both in action. We'll talk about Lonzo Ball as well at UCLA. That's on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Brad Sismad with you. Let's shift gears away from the NFL and on the college front, because it's just been a disaster here in Arizona on all levels, pro and college. None of the teams playing after a couple of weeks from now. But there is some hope on the basketball end, I do believe, with the Final Four here in late March, that the U of A can get it figured out and get Trier on board. And Markkanen looks like a one-and-done guy. He's playing so well. ASU, well, they're ASU. And then I think Lonzo Ball and watching UCLA so far this season, they've been a lot of fun. Matt Muehlbach joins us now to talk further. Former U of A Wildcat, Pac-12 network analyst, does a terrific job. He is in Eugene, Oregon, where the 20th-ranked Ducks are taking on Fresno State tonight in Eugene. Before I get into the teams here, thanks for being with us, Matt. How's Casey Benson, an Arizona kid, performing for the Ducks this season? I've seen him a little bit. How's he been looking?
Well, hey, Brad. First, yeah, thanks for having me on. Always love this time of year when I get to join you, so I appreciate it. You know, I'm going to be interested to see where Casey is tonight. I had a game here a couple weeks ago, and actually got a chance to talk to him for a pretty extended period of time. And an awesome kid. You know, I know he's from the Valley, and you know, people are pretty fired up, I think, to follow him. And a great time talking to him. He was so good last year. Everyone knows his assist to turnover. And I think what's happened this year is, you know, they've got some depth at guard. They've got a McDonald's All-American kid from the Oregon area that came in, and Peyton Pritchard. And then they've got this Dylan Ennis kid who's a big-time Big East type player. So his minutes have shrunk a little bit. And I think what happened was, with Dylan Brooks out of the lineup, they were looking for scoring. And I don't, you know, Benson is not a great scorer. And so I think that kind of worked against him. You know, he was better, you know, being that distributor guy with all the studs in the lineup when they had him. So I'm interested to see now that Brooks is in the lineup, and they sort of have their full complement back. Although now that he's in the lineup, Boucher has a sprained ankle. So when they get all that back, I'm interested to see how, you know, he fits from a chemistry standpoint, because he does such a good job running the team. In fact, you know, Kevin O'Neill, who's colleague at Pac-12, he thinks he's the best point guard in the entire country.
Really?
In college. I mean, he loves the kid beyond belief, and he loves him the same reason I do and everybody does, because he runs the team and he gets them organized. And so it's just, I think they're trying, like a lot of teams right now, you know, you mentioned Arizona and ASU. It's just, these teams are trying to figure out, you know, who they got, and there's guys coming and going and getting hurt, and it's not always easy. And you have a team like UCLA where it has been pretty easy.
Talking with Matt Muehlbach, he's in Eugene tonight on Pac-12 Network, number 20 Oregon against Fresno State. All right, let's go to the U of A New Mexico game tonight. And you know, for the Wildcats, what have you been able to make out of them, considering they haven't had Parker Jackson Cartwright, considering Trier's situation? It's pretty hard to make a determination, in my view, about just how good Sean's team can be this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the one thing that they figured out, which is a huge positive, is that I think this is a tougher team than they had last year. I think it's a better defensive team. And I think the other thing is, because you look at some of those games, you know, they've been so thin with no bench, and yet they played Gonzaga and like fought them tooth and nail, and they just play hard. You know, that's the one thing that I've really noticed about them. But I think the other thing is that, you know, because Trier's been out, because Parker Jackson Cartwright's out now with the high ankle sprain, those freshmen have gotten so many minutes and so much time. And so when those other guys, assuming Trier does come back, we don't know, but if he does, you bring in an NBA-type player, and those other guys, their minutes have been such a benefit for them to play in big-time games and get a ton of time. And so then all of a sudden, I think they'll go from thin to being pretty pretty good with it. I mean, it's weird how you can go from 7 to 9 and it transforms how you feel about your team in terms of depth. But, you know, they're three freshmen. It's pretty amazing. They all three of them, you know, lead the team in scoring.
Yep.
They have this team, to me, like you look at last year's team, it was almost like day one, that team, their ceiling was their ceiling. You know, like they were as good almost day one as they were the last day of the season. And this year's team has a gigantic ceiling, way bigger ceiling, and they're not even close to it. You know, the question will be, can they get there? You know, with Trier, if he does come back, that raises it even more. And I think they got a chance. And I love the chemistry, how hard they play. They've got a really unselfish team. So they've got the pieces. They just need to get them all in there at the same time.
When does Trier become a distraction, Matt, to a team? I mean, every player's asked about it. Sean's asked about it before every game. The pictures are put up. This is the game. No, it's not the game. When does it become a point of we have moved on from this and it's not going to happen, or it is? Is it a distraction at all for you?
You know what? It's a really good question, because I think my answer might surprise people. Mm. You know, it's probably an annoyance to the coaches and to Sean, because you got to keep answering the question. But at least for me, when I was playing and stuff like this, we had some things like this that happened. Not exactly, but, you know, you have guys that are out or, you know, for whatever reason aren't playing. And it's weird, because as a player, you don't even pay attention to it. You really don't. I mean, it's, you know, there's so much noise going on outside of the locker room and the court. And, you know, people like me are interested, and you, and I mean, the fans are all, you know,
fans are all jacked up
about it, which is, yeah, they're all jacked up. And, but players, you just go in and play, and it doesn't really affect you. I mean, you know, I'm sure his teammates are hoping he can play, and they're fired up that, you know, hey, we hope you can get in, but it doesn't even, like, to me, it didn't affect me when I was playing. It's just, you show up, and who's ever ready to play is going to play. And it just kind of doesn't matter. I mean, you want them there, as I said, but that noise is so much less loud, you know, in your own locker room than it really is outside of it.
Talk with Matt Muehlbach. Is Markkanen one and done, in your opinion?
I think he is. I think he is, because I think he'll be a lottery pick, and, you know, the history has been recently that if you're a lottery pick, you go.
Right.
And I think part of it too is he's a big dude. You know, he's not a skinny, you know, some, you know, kid. They, you know, they say at the freshman age, hey, you got to put on some weight and he'll be pretty good. He's built. I mean, you look at him, he's jacked up, and he's just now really getting into the whole weight program. And so I think he's physically, you know, none of them are ready. Let me just back up and say that.
Yeah,
nobody's
yeah.
really ready,
right.
But in today's landscape, he's ready. You know, he's got all the skill set to do whatever, you know, he's got a gigantic ceiling. The other thing is, he's played at all kinds of levels. He's played in the European, you know, championships over there, the under 20, and he's played with grown men playing pro ball over there. I think, you know, he's got a really pretty, he's got a good view on things. He's a really mature kid. So I think he is. I mean, if he came back, like I said, it wouldn't hurt him. It'd be great for him as well as the program. But I think the way it's headed these days, it's you know, to me, it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's kind of like watching Marquise Chriss here with the Suns. You know, the kid should still be at Washington, but that's just the reality of the situation that we're in. He'd be far better getting minutes in the Pac-12 than in the NBA. But, you know, what can you do?
What can you do? Yeah.
A couple other questions. I'll let you go. I appreciate your time. ASU has got Creighton tonight. I like this, the fact that they're playing a top 10 team. I don't know if Bobby does, having lost Cuncliffe. What do you make out of Bobby Hurley so far at ASU? He hasn't even coached 100 games, but at some point you got to slow down and not be thrown out of games. His temper, I think, has gotten the best of him a few times, and he doesn't have the talent base here that I think that, it's just not going to be a very competitive team. I could be wrong on all fronts. What's your view of Hurley in the ASU job so far?
Well, just a couple of things. You know, I played against him for, I think, 2 or 3 years, maybe 2 years. And so I've known him a long time. I mean, I love the hire. I love the hire. I think it's, you know, he's an iconic college player. And I think that was something that ASU If you're an ASU fan, that's exactly what you wanted and needed as a coach coming in. Has it turned around on a dime? No. But remember, there's some great coaches, Larry Kriskoviak, you know, that it took them 4 or 5 years to kind of really get things moving. And, you know, there was just such a dearth of big guys on this team, and that's what he's fighting right now. He's got some fun guards. Those guards are fun to watch, and they're good. And, but he's just, it's a matter of just recruiting the size. And you sort of took the words out of my mouth, which is even though he's, you know, sort of my age, he hasn't been around as long as a guy like Sean Miller.
No.
You know, he hasn't coached that many games. And so right. I think all that stuff, look, I would much rather go backwards. I mean, if he's showing passion and energy and he's getting thrown out of a couple games, that's easy to go backwards and say, okay, you know, but I think part of it is he's trying to instill, you know, a passion and an energy in his team, and he's not settling for less. And so to me, I love all that. And I also have a different perspective. I talked to him, you know, before the games and at shoot around, and I've got them on Thursday actually against the Russ Pinnell game. We're calling it.
Oh, yeah.
Russ Pinnell coming back in town.
That's right.
With Arkansas. So people had to go out and support Russ and ASU obviously. But you know, I get a chance to talk to him before the games, and he's surprisingly like really just cool and mellow. And there's a lot of coaches, they don't give you much before games. You know, he's a normal guy, you know, just like you and me, and really fun to talk to about, you know, what's going on. So to me, that's important because that's the kind of thing that, you know, players will see and you know, attract and go towards. And so I think he's going to do it. I mean, he's in on a lot of big kids. He's been in on kids. He's got kids, you know, like Cunliffe, even though it didn't work out. So that's a good sign to me. And it's just a matter of, you know, getting more of them. They have no depth right now. You know, the depth is not there and no big. So you just can't, you know, coach around that. And that's until that all happens, that's when it'll start to come together.
Before I let you go, we got about 30 seconds, 45 seconds in the segment. Lonzo Ball, how good?
he's right now to me. I mean, I guess this kid from Villanova, they're saying might be the, you know, player of the year. Right, to me, he's the national player of the year right now.
Mm.
I mean, that's how good he has been. You look at their year-over-year numbers, you know, shooting percentage, assists. I mean, they are the UCLA, the Golden State UCLA Warriors. I mean, they're playing like that. But it's beyond that. His energy, his kind of presence has changed everything they do, you know, just like increased everything to a huge magnitude. You know, the other thing that people forget is TJ Leaf's pretty good too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's another first-round pick you just throw in there. And so it's kind of the perfect mix right now. They've got great energy. They got great chemistry. It shows you as kind of a point guard. Like if you come in, and it reminds, you know, I've told people, it reminds me of Jason Kidd the year that he went to the Olympics, and he said he didn't want to take one shot the entire Olympics. And I think he ended up taking one or maybe two because he had a wide open layup and he had to. And that's Ball. You know, Ball just doesn't care. He does not care about scoring. And it's just, it's contagious with that team. It's incredible, fun to watch. Great for the conference, obviously.
No, no question about it. Hey, safe travels. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, have a happy holidays.
You as well, Matt. Thanks. Matt Muehlbach there, former U of A Wildcat. He's doing number 20 Oregon at home against Fresno State tonight. The U of A game is tonight on Pac-12 Network at 7. And the ASU game is on ESPN2 tonight. At the same time, ESPN2, ASU at home against number 10, Creighton. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. He's been playing hurt today. Appreciate him on that front. Eric Sorensen, our senior executive vice president of nothing or everything, depending on the day. Jordan Hamm gets in the way as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for being with us.